I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about Michael O'Fallon's credibility and his poor track record of predicting the future. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is groundbreaking news in a sense that we are basically launching the thrust of destroying his credibility here on Evangelical Dark Web. This has already been done on Twitter as of last night, or tonight, hours before I'm recording this, because I'm a late night owl. But I've already launched this, and it's been pretty interesting, the response so far. And the idea is that Michael O'Fallon is one of the biggest opponents of Christian nationalism. He has done so by lying about Christian nationalism, calling it an op, promising that we're all going to be on a no-fly list or whatever, the government's going to crack down on us, the government's going to use us to, you know, institute various levels of tyranny on the rest of the people. You know, either way, you know, somehow he's going to, you know, we're going to get him locked in the gulag with us or something like that. So Michael O'Fallon's just been, you know, unhinged and crazy when it comes to Christian nationalism and defending the post-war consensus. And much of his credibility is about predicting the future, which is something that he does not do a good job at. And that's what we're going to expose in this video. But first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support us over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join, our Patreon-like system linked in the description below. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. And we also have a free newsletter, which is also linked in the description below. Christian news in your inbox each and every day. There are more articles than videos or podcasts that I do. So be sure to subscribe to that as well if you haven't already. And so with that said, I posted this thread on the Twitter sphere last night or earlier today, depending on your perspective. And it's about Michael O'Fallon's the staunchest opponent to Christian nationalism, and his reputation largely relies on him predicting the future accurately, but it really doesn't add up. You know, he doesn't have an accurate track record of predicting the future, which is what I exposed in this thread. So the first thing that I want to talk about is his branch Covidianism. So this is something I've been wrong about for years. And one of the biggest divides in the Christian nationalism debate is between people who never bought the lie of COVID and people who did. And the Christian nationalists, the up-and-coming Christian nationalists, are people who did not go along with the narrative of COVID. That is basically the line of demarcation between those who are Christian nationalists and those who aren't. In many cases, you do not find many examples of people who oppose Christian nationalism and did not also initially support lockdowns, mask mandates, and other forms of lies and tyrannies. You don't see that a whole lot. People like Joel Webbin made a huge name for themselves because he took a biblical approach to the issue of Branch Davidianism. And it cost him. It cost him something to do that. Now, he's obviously had a Job-like recovery for himself. More power to him. His channel's exploded, by the way. I think when I had him on for an interview, he had like 25,000 subs, and he's like tripled that. So good for him. His house is increasing, and you love to see that. So Michael O'Fallon, what I found out was that he was peddling the lies, the fear porn. He was peddling the masks. So this, there's a clip I played on Twitter, but that is abridged because if I post a longer clip on Twitter, it's not going to produce the audio, even if it allows me to upload it, because I'm not paying Elon Musk. So this is the full clip of Michael O'Fallon's words, not the abridged one I put on Twitter. In fact, the full clip is even worse. It's even worse. So here's the full clip.
I remember the Chinese were still in the practice of wearing masks, and if they did not feel well, that's when they would wear them. Not just as a preventative measure for those if you are well, but those if you are not well. See, they knew how important the wearing of masks was in regards to stopping the transmission of the SARS virus. Now, I still came down with something. And then I was told to wear a mask until my symptoms dissipated. Now, let's fast forward 9 years.
So he's referencing a previous, you know, outbreak. I think he's referencing SARS-1. He can't be referencing SARS-1. He's got to be referencing something else because he said 9 years. But you saw that he talked about a masking culture and he still caught something anyway. You got to love how he says that. And then here's what he says now. This is, again, this video clip is from April 7th, 2020. So we are in the thick of things. We are in the thick of the fight that started 4 years ago.
It was a month and a half ago that the Sovereign Nations team and I were heading to CPAC in Washington, D.C. Sovereign Nations has been a sponsor of CPAC since 2012. When we were preparing to go as a team, I told everybody on my team to wear masks because of what was coming and because of the fact that I knew at the time that the coronavirus was already in the United States. Just because we were starting to test didn't mean that it was not here. Now, I wore a mask. One of my other teammates wore a mask on the flight up. But others did not, and here's why. The Surgeon General of the United States and others speaking for him said that masks really didn't help to stop the transmission of COVID-19. And this was wrong. It was complete baloney, and I told my team to ignore this information. I mean, you know, who was I to doubt the word of the Surgeon General of the United States? I explained that the only reason that they were told to not wear masks is because if they did tell people to wear masks, there wouldn't be enough masks to go around the entire nation. So, unfortunately, and I don't believe the President of the United States was let in on this, by the way, that team made up a convenient falsehood to cover up for the lack of supply. And sure enough, the virus spread and was present at CPAC. And no one was wearing a mask.
Ooh.
And now, in their revised wisdom, the Surgeon General and others are recommending that everyone wear masks. That happened just in the last 2 days. Why? Because masks are preventative in both distributing and catching the virus. This was a common sense move. It should have been said 2 months ago.
So there you see it. That blows up Michael O'Fallon's credibility already. He lied there. He pushed the lie of the mask. So he pushed that lie. He pushed it hard. He pushed it on his own people. He bragged about it. And if you caught the episode of the title of that episode was hindsight, and it had to do with his hindsight. So he's talking about.
I remember the Chinese
hindsight and
were
foresight.
Still in the practice.
So he called that episode Hindsight and Foresight. And he's tapping himself on the back. He's giving himself a nice pat on the back about how he was right about masks this whole time and how masks work and stop the transmission and spread of coronavirus. And he's just tapping himself on the back about being so right about this. And that aged like milk. What a liar there. That he peddled the panic porn. He spread medical misinformation, deliberately so. And he spread the idolatry of masking. I believe in COVID accountability. And apparently so does Michael O'Fallon after, you know, he absolves himself probably of the lies and his participation in them. So you'll see that we're about to go through 17 predictions that he made about the year 2023. So last year. These were year predictions. You know, he makes them in January. They're supposed to, you know, last the whole year. And we, at the end of the year, we count them up and see how many he was right about. Two of his predictions had to do with COVID accountability. And where's his COVID accountability? Has anyone ever called Michael O'Fallon out for this? Has he ever acknowledged his position? Because he does change positions. My impression was that he was strong on this issue the whole time because there's a record of him opposing lockdowns and mandates and all that other stuff. But apparently he was weak on this issue when the fight was thickest. When it was hardest to take a stand, Michael O'Fallon was peddling the lies just as much as most of Conservative Inc. Most of the now anti-Christian nationalist, by the way, who 4 years ago were locking down their churches. So that's clip one. Going back to the thread, there's another thing said that in this clip about, and it's in reference to the CARES Act and the spending and stuff like that. I'm going to play the clip. And I just think it's another example of bad. It was a bad prediction because what he's describing didn't happen. People were hurt, but not the people that he's talking about being hurt here.
Lumped into the legislation for the next $2 trillion burned into thin air. And what will happen? The economy of the United States will eventually collapse. Liquidity will dry up. The legacy wealth of corporations and individuals of this nation will completely disintegrate. You will never have top-down economics. Trickle-down economics will never be possible again.
So there you have it from Michael O'Fallon, his economic prediction, which was that legacy corporations, legacy wealth would be hurt hardest by the CARES Act inflation, which I oppose the CARES Act. Full record, I opposed it then. I'm glad to hear that he seems to have opposed it. But who actually hurt from the inflation? Was it legacy wealth? No, it was the working class that hurt from the inflation the most. Legacy wealth got richer. The rich got richer during COVID. They were able to take advantage of the ability to buy stuff up with low interest rates because there's a period of time in COVID where interest rates were still really, really low. They were able to take advantage of that. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I accurately predicted the lowest point of the stock market, which was about April 20th, I believe, 2020. I accurately predicted that, and I made a lot of money off of that. Unfortunately, I think one of the stocks I bought at the time was Disney, which I did sell, by the way. I sold Disney. But speaking of Disney, what corporation has really hurt the most? What legacy corporation has hurt the most since, you know, April 19th, 2020? Disney, but it's not because of the inflation in the wealth and the money printed via COVID. No, it was because of their own woke decisions and the loss that they took with Ron DeSantis and ruining Star Wars and ruining Marvel. And yeah, we could go on a rant about that. But the rich got richer in COVID. They were able to take advantage of the situation, take advantage of the free money opportunities that were available to them that they could take advantage on while the working class was struggling. So that I have a lot of issues with that prediction there. And I think the priorities are out of whack. And that's not what happened there either. There's another 2020 prediction where he had about the election in 2020, which I believe he got way wrong. So this is where we're going to talk about his list of greatest thinkers, not just Christians, of the last 20 years. This is a tweet from 2021. So we have gone from 2020 to 2021. And I just want to point out some names here because some of them are pretty good, you know. Jordan Peterson, though, who's milquetoast. I don't think Jordan Peterson's all that bright, to be honest. I think it's a lot of midwittery and definite hypocrisy about, you know, getting your life in order, and his life is completely not in order. It's just self-help marketed to men, and that's really what Jordan Peterson represents. And it's one of several reasons why the evangelical dark web is better than the intellectual dark web. You see James Lindsay's promoted on there in 2021. Weinstein, who I believe is the atheist guy. Peter Thiel, which I guess he's brighter. I believe Murray is Douglas Murray, who's the British dude who wants to neuter the American right wing and have us soften our rhetoric. Like, that guy's not that sharp. Elon Musk, I think, is more of a nice barometer for the normie. I do not think he's one of the greatest thinkers. I think he's one of the more greatest financial minds. I try to aspire to, have my finances more like Elon Musk's. That's for sure. And then you see up and coming. This is kind of interesting. So Jacob Brunton is one of the people. He's not really up and coming. That's not really my definition of up and coming. I believe Russell Brand is the next one. Okay, as a thinker, yeah, he's definitely up and coming. Ben Shapiro, really? How is he up and coming? The dude was at his zenith in 2021. He was like the top of the top podcast on the right, on righty media. He was like the top podcast. How is he up and coming? The dude's up. You know, up and coming means you're fastest growing, and fastest growing means you're like in last place. Because of how diminishing returns works. So, and then Wolf, which is a reference to Stephen Wolf, who was a writer for Sovereign Nations, which is Michael O'Fallon's organization. So what changed in, you know, from 2021, April of 2021 to whenever in 2022, the case for Christian nationalism came out? And I kind of point that out in the thread. It's like, you know, there's, you know, what happened? Because what did Stephen Wolf change? Sure, you know, he might have finished Calvin's Institutes or something. But in reality, he had to have been working on his very long book while he was still on very friendly terms with Michael O'Fallon. So I don't think he really changed, because he's a classical mind. And that's pretty much what people have always appreciated about Stephen Wolf. Now, Stephen Wolf is not the only one whom Michael O'Fallon has promoted over the years with later regret. And we're going to talk about John Harris and A.D. Robles for a second here in our third clip.
Let's face it, folks, even with all of our differences, even with our disagreements, J.D. Hall, Tom Littleton, Brennan House, Cody Leibold, Jacob Brunton, A.D. Robles, Bill Roach, John Harris, and several other discernment bloggers crossed that active and armed minefield. All of us losing limbs along the way. Some brothers facing church discipline and expulsion for their stands along the way. Losing millions of dollars of business along the way. Having our reputations destroyed along the way.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
And now, others. Now that the minefield has been cleared and has been made safe, others are on top of their white horses in full monarchical regalia, striding across the field to declare themselves courageous for crossing the minefield.
I gotta say, there is some irony there, because if you look at the people who are acting courageous for crossing the minefield, Owen Strand, number one example that comes to mind. And what's important here is that he talks about A.D. Robles and John Harris being at the forefront of opposing and confronting wokeness when it was unpopular to do so. And he's about to accuse, you know, people who reject liberalism of partaking in this woke apostasy scheme. That's going to be one of his 17 predictions. So that's what we're about to talk about next. So he has a bunch of predictions. So he made 17 predictions. And if you're a fan of numerology, you'll love this. Because Michael Fallon made a series of 17 predictions for the year. 17 is the number of Gnosticism that he and James Lindsay are fond of talking about, by the way. James Lindsay doesn't know what Gnosticism is. I just want to be very upfront about that. He does not know what Gnosticism is. What he's really describing is closer to original sin when he describes Gnosticism. And I wouldn't be so, you know, barbaric to call everything Gnosticism or say that the original sin was, in fact, Gnosticism. I just think that's, you know, putting Gnosticism on a pedestal in a sense. But 17 is like their numerology for that, which is why I don't think that the number is a coincidence. I'm not saying that Michael O'Fallon's a Gnostic, but I'm just saying he, you know, did that to be intentionally, you know, there's intentional numerology there. So his first prediction was worldwide push for central bank digital currencies will incrementally evolve towards both national and global acceptance. So again, let's review how these were billed. And I'm going to grade these generously. I want to be clear that I'm going to grade these generously. So with 5 years of being able to accurately forecast the course of our nation and world, that's a bit of a joke, but I digress. I would like to present my forecast for 2023. This is a forecast for 2023. So in order for him to be right, this had to have been a discernible event in 2023. That is the standard of which I'm judging, and I will judge generously. So the worldwide push for central bank digital currencies will incrementally evolve towards both national and global acceptance. This did not come to pass in 2023. And does not look to in 2024 either. So central bank digital currency, is it a thing? Sure. But is it more like automatic self-driving cars where, yes, it's a thing, but it's much further off into the future than everyone was telling us? I think that's more accurate. So that did not happen in 2023. That didn't happen. Number two, his second prediction. The big brothering of world governments and corporations. What about this is a real prediction? It's pretty lame. But I grant him a W here. I grant him one. I grant him 1 point. Even though it's vague, subjective, and banal. So he has one out. He's one for one out of two right here. Number three. There will be another attempt at creating a reflexive health crisis. This did not happen in 2023. Number 4. The amount of fury from those who have been vaccinated will exponentially increase. This did not happen in 2023. We saw no political accountability for COVID in the 2022 primary results or election results in general, nor would this suddenly change in 2023. There is no political will for COVID accountability. And I supported Ron DeSantis. I want COVID accountability, actually. But at the end of the day, this didn't happen. I wish he was right about this. I really wish he was right about this, but he was wrong about this. Number 5 is just like number 4. The vaccination revelations will have a serious effect on the campaign of President Donald Trump. Again, this did not happen. I wanted this to happen. It did not happen. Ron DeSantis could not use COVID to dismantle Donald Trump. It just wouldn't happen. The boomers would not have it. So, number 6, there will be chaos and fracturing in the Republican Party. This is another vague and generic prediction. There were leadership struggles in 2023 for sure. The Speaker of the House was removed. There's a lot of division over Ronna McDaniel, who in 2024 would resign. But the party did not fracture in 2023. So I'm going to give him a half point. Now, in the gambling world, this number 6 is a two-leg parlay in the gambling world, and you don't get the pot if you lose one of your two legs on a parlay. But I, in my generosity, am going to award him half a point for being right about half of the parlay. So he gets half a point here. So we're at 1.5 if you are counting. Number 7, the explosion of 15-minute cities. This didn't happen in 2023. Number 8, the beginning of the end of the personal automobile industry. This is vague and can hardly be attributed to happening in 2023. What discernible event marked that this was the end in 2023? What discernible event made this happen? What can you look back on and say this is the defining event? I don't think that exists. I do believe there's a concentrated effort to attack cars. I do think there's a war on cars. You know, the other video ago, I talked about, you know, ample free parking is more valuable than building aesthetics for, you know, a church congregation. So obviously I love cars and having personal cars and stuff like that. And I've been following this issue for many, many years, but nothing really happened in 2023 that was discernible other than some legislation that might not have taken effect yet. But it doesn't necessarily attack people who are existing and have personal cars. So number 9, the disrupting and dismantling of the golden age of travel. Again, we're actually seeing more of this in 2024, and it's because of the Boeing crisis and how their planes just are not being maintained or manufactured properly. I'm not sure which one it is, and it's probably both. But Boeing is probably the only reason you could say that this happened in 2024. But this didn't really happen in 2023 either. People still traveled a lot in 2023. Number 10, China's dominance across the world will grow. What a lame prediction. This is banal, but I'll grant him, based on America's decline alone, that China's dominance increased. So, very lame prediction, Michael O'Fallon. He got 2.5, I believe. Number 11, the increased call for balkanization across Western nations. This happened in 2023, but did slow down towards the end. The higher interest rates are going to make this a little bit harder to make it a rallying cry to move to a red state, because you're going to get screwed on interest rates and stuff like that. So it's a lot harder because people just can't buy houses as much as they used to right now. So, but, you know, Joel Webbin's book, I believe, came out in 2023 on this subject. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a point here. But again, what a lame prediction, because it kind of slowed down a little bit in 2023. Joel Webbin's book kind of capitalized on this ongoing debate and definitely made it peak. For sure. Number 12, and this one's the absolute gaslight. Conservative Reformed Evangelical Parachurch Ministries and organizations will blame liberalism for the current state of our nation and not their decade-long attempt to deconstruct Christianity for the Marxian substitute of social justice. Wow. This did not happen in 2023 at all. You saw the people that were, you know, bad on the issue of COVID defend liberalism. You're seeing people like Michael O'Fallon defend liberalism, defend the post-World War consensus. They are defending this. The people that are on the Christian nationalist side, you know, the conservative reformed evangelical parachurch ministries, first of all, weren't largely, a lot of these haven't been around for a decade. Like maybe you got Doug Wilson in Moscow, Idaho. But Right Response Ministries, we've talked about them earlier, hasn't been around for a decade. John Harris hasn't been operating for a decade. And he was one of the people that was with Michael O'Fallon back in the day. And then A.D. Robles, another name that was a friend back in the day. They're not part of an attempt to, you know, an apostasy scheme of wokeness. That, and since when are the people who are woke opposing liberalism? They aren't blaming liberalism at all. They celebrate liberalism. They're defending liberalism. This is their Trojan horse to infiltrate the church. And we've internalized so much liberalism. And that is another thing that Christianity or Christian nationalism represents, is a rejection of liberalism. Number 13, the cognitive liberty, the loss of cognitive liberty through invasive cerebral instruments. What even is this? I really tried to look this up, guys. All I saw on this was brain implants and, you know, implanting a chip in your head. Yeah, that's not something that really emerged in 2023 as a major threat to, liberty. So this is another X. Wrong. Number 14, wars and rumors of war will continue in Ukraine and beyond. What an easy pick, guys. What an easy pick. It did happen. Boring. Banal. Number 15, the transition of Western economies from abundance to scarcity. This hasn't happened in 2023. People are still hurting from inflation, but we aren't seeing a scarcity crisis. We're seeing the cost of living is increasing and the money supply is increasing, but it's not like we have an economy of scarcity yet. Number 16, the rise of health equity. Again, what's discernible about this that happened in 2023? The idea that the medical industry is corrupt and woke? Oh, wow, you're telling me for the first time, to quote Donald Trump. What about this was discernible in 2023 and not in the years prior? I just think it's a vague prediction. There's nothing really there to say this was a flagship moment. No. Number 17, and just a side note, health equity, like this, the medical industry is one of the most corrupt in the United States. They've been, you know, at the push in the forefront of, you know, mutilating children here. So they've been all about wokeness for a long time. Number 17, artificial intelligence will make a very invasive leap into our lives. Now, this didn't happen in 2023, and artificial intelligence was a big deal in 2023. I am an AI enthusiast myself. I'm something of an AI enthusiast myself. And I can tell you, I've interacted with the AI quite a bit. It is a glorified chatbot mixed with a search engine. It is a very sophisticated technology in a lot of cases. But let's be real, it's not really artificial intelligence. It does what it's programmed to do. And it's, again, it's not really intelligent. It's just a program. It's an algorithm. Can it learn? Yes. Can it intake and, you know, alter itself? Yes. But in 2023, we've seen the limits of AI. We've seen how much the big tech corporations really need to program AI to not notice patterns, to hate white people. We've seen this. This AI is not as intelligent as you think it is. So if you're doing the math, the grand total on the scorecard is 4.5 predictions were correct out of 17. This is 26.47% success rate for all you math people out there. All of O'Fallon's accurate predictions for the year 2023 were continuations of ongoing trends rather than examples of unique foresight. So hindsight's and foresight. His foresight's nothing special. Like, nothing in his prediction was anything to brag about. You bragged about wars and rumors of war. So stunning, so brave. And he had a response to this. So he has a full response coming. But in the meantime, this young, constantly dishonest young man must have had a bit too much to drink before posting this thread where he attempts to critique my predictions made at the end of 2022. He is truly the Kyle J. Howard equivalent of Christian nationalism. No problem responding to the steaming pile of assertions tomorrow, but a few others might beat me to it. Who else is going to respond to this thread on his side of the camp? His army of minions is actually a lot smaller than you think. Like, he has the people like Cody Leibolt, Bill Roach, Jacob Brunton, Janet Mefford to a degree, and she's pretty unhinged these days. But his camp isn't that large, isn't that influential either. And let's face it, they aren't competing very well in this digital age these days. I don't know, maybe James Lindsay's going to do a video about me. That'd be cool. I'd take that boost. So if he really views me as a small peon, you know, I think it's a strategic mistake to actually do this. But nonetheless, he called me a dork. Maybe, you know, you should subscribe to the Evangelical Dork Web. He called me Kyle J. Howard, who's a battle wappa. I thought that was hilarious. And he said I had a bit too much to drink. I must confess, I had one beer tonight while watching a basketball game. I drank it very slowly, so I didn't feel anything. But when I say one beer, keep in mind it was a local craft lager. Now, in boomer math, that's two beers, because a 5% beer is like two beers in the boomer world, because they're used to drinking light beer. That's my millennial talking, by the way. So two beers by Michael O'Fallon's generational logic there. Not too much. Again, I called him out for lying about COVID and lying about masks. And then two of his predictions were about COVID accountability. I just love the irony there. Then he called me a boy toy afterwards, which kind of sounds gay. But anyway, that is all I got to say about this for now. Wrecking Michael O'Fallon's credibility. Have a blessed day. We will catch you on the next one.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.